This episode has visual components, so if you're listening to this, you'll definitely want to find the video version and give it a watch.
Nice shorts.
Yeah. Howdy, hey, and welcome to Nice Shorts.
I'm Fu Yang.
And I'm Johnny Niddle.
And this is a show where we interview animators about shorts they make.
Today, we talk with Lindsay about her Adult Swim bumper.
Learn how she animated a pair of jaws and made them vomit.
Ooh, and her favorite ways to make stop motion drool.
Now on with the show.
So, Adult Swim bumper. Is that like one of those, hell yeah, like milestone everyone wants to have is the Adult Swim bumper?
You know, it's funny. I guess so. The reason I go, I guess so, is because this is my fourth one that I've done. And it's a dream. I mean, like, absolute dream. I never really thought about it before, but actually, this piece has some history to it that is important. I was just going to do this. Like, Doug and I are just creators and co-creators, and we work so well together that, you know, I was like kind of bored. And also, whenever I don't have work lined up, I just create things for myself and post them on social media, because most of the time putting those things out there, it's almost like fishing. Like, usually a client or someone new will see it and be like, oh yeah, I want to hire her to do this commercial or whatever it is. So it's almost like, you know, it's fun, but also like usually things come out of it, which is also kind of cool. So, you know, I was talking to Doug and I was like, hey, so it actually started with Tucker. I was sitting there and I don't know, I used the common American phrase, you know, like, oh, I just made it by the skin of my teeth, by the skin of my teeth. And then I sat there and I was like, that is effing weird.
Right.
I'm like, has anyone thought about that? The skin of my teeth? I'm like, that is messed up. Teeth don't have skin. And I'm like, that's marvelous. And then I was like, I want to animate that. And then I just immediately started being like, imagine like teeth growing skin and like licking it off. And I'm like, it's like Cronenberg-y. And you know, Tucker's like, you're so messed up. And I'm like, yay. So I was started to talk to Doug and I was like, I want to do this. I want to do this weird animation with like skin, teeth, I don't know. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you want to fuck around with it with me? And he was like, yeah. So we were just in a studio. Like, I found this like dentist teeth, like model that came pretty much rigged, which is wild. But it was too clean and perfect. So we painted it and made it look a little bit more realistic, which is
great. You wanted the before picture, not the after picture.
You know, he started making a tongue and we were just having fun at that point. And he mentioned, he was like, oh my gosh, it's my dream to do, he knows that I've done Adult Swim bumper. He's like, oh my gosh, that's my dream. Like, I would just love to have it on my resume that I like worked on an Adult Swim bumper. And I was like, really? And I was like, I could probably pitch this to them and get it made as an Adult Swim bumper. And he was like, why don't you? And I'm like, I didn't even think about it. And I was like, yeah, all we have to do is at the end, which you'll see, you know, have it like barf up the Adult Swim logo. And then he was like, oh my gosh. And then we can make it out of this. And then we got really excited about it. So, you know, I went to open the portal and who is the company or the wonderful stop motion house and production company that I direct for and that I've done all the Adult Swim bumpers with. And I was like, hey, I want to pitch this as an Adult Swim bumper. And they were like, absolutely. And, you know, they were also, you know, wanting to do some bumpers of their own. So usually Adult Swim will kind of like, at least with Open the Portal, you know, commission like a couple at a time. So we pitched it. They loved it. And they're one of the best clients. I love working with them just because they really let the artists do kind of whatever they want. Like, this was something that I just was really passionate about and just really wanted to do. And, you know, created the animatic. Actually, I'll pull up the animatic too, because I feel like that's a fun thing to kind of see how it progresses. So, you know, showed them the animatic, no notes. The only note was to make sure that it's either exactly 15 or exactly 20 seconds. And then, you know, I made the thing and showed them, you know, before we did post work, and they were just like, yay. And did post work, sent it, and again, yay. It's that's like dream client, but it's not because they don't care. It's just, it's, they're so supportive of the artist's vision and just like really doing whatever weird thing they want to do, because I think they recognize that we don't get to do just what we want often, especially me. Like, I know my stuff. I mean, this is like very, this is like pinnacle Lindsay. It is, I'm not going to say never, but it's going to be so few and far between that a client ever lets me do this.
Right.
So yeah, anyways, I want to show it. But yeah, if it's cool, I'm going to play it.
Please. I'm excited.
And then we'll watch the animatic. And then I would love questions because I'm so excited about this. So it's a perfect loop.
Can we please watch again?
Yeah. This is so satisfying.
Oh wow, that is usually the reaction I get, but I like it.
No, I really love it. Like,
visually satisfying piece.
It's weird and disgusting, but kind of adorable. Maybe it has happy color. It's like, this is my soul. We, Doug and I made the Adult Swim logo part, a nasty aspic, you know, I think they're called aspics. It's like those weird jello molds.
Oh yeah. Aspic jelly.
This is like, so this is like a mixture of, I think, Doug and I's hair. So this is a mixture of, these are prosthetic teeth. Mm-hmm. This is a real insect. That is Doug and I's hair, maybe some of Puck's. And then it's a mixture of Quake gel and clay. I wish Doug was here to tell me if there was something else mixed in there. Oh, he also made like these little, he crunched up some ramen noodles.
And put what? There, like,
you can kind of see it here and here.
Okay.
And it's kind of fun. Like, you can see her fingerprints in it. But this, none of this was composited. All of this is shot in camera. Like, the raw footage I could show you, and it's
that's a great still though. Jesus.
It's fun. And then for it to, you know, it slowly,
what?
You know, it plops there, right?
Yeah.
The Quake gel, I time-lapsed for 30 minutes to get it. You see it sliding down. That's all time-lapse on glass.
Wow.
That, how did you get that teeth pull? Because that's a front, I don't know what you call it, but like just a front-facing camera shot. Like, how do you get that teeth skin pull off so smooth?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean earlier here?
Yeah, like that. Like,
oh, I'll talk about it. So this is Quake gel on the teeth, and then I take brown tissue paper and sit there and molded it with using the Quake gel to the teeth, and then I let it sit overnight so that it's not that Quake gel ever gets wet, but it almost is like it congeals to the tissue paper, that it like adheres it in a way that just looks almost like paper mache, but it's not. But it also is easy to peel off because it has that quake gel underneath. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what quake gel is?
No.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
So quake gel. It's just museum. It's called museum hold gel, and you can just get it on Amazon. Museums hold use it because it's clear.
So that's for can sticking things, glue things together too.
But it's not glue. Wax. It's kind of like
I just want it. I don't know why I want it or what I'd use it for, but I want it.
This feels so clean. Like it's not messy around.
It doesn't it doesn't leave. Now, if you were to put this onto a puppet, like a hard puppet face, and you leave it overnight, it'll kind of leave a little bit of like a weird oily residue, but you can get it off. But it can ruin fabrics. Like you get that weird oily residue off of fabric, but you can put it on fabric. It's just if you leave it on for like hours and hours and hours, sometimes it can like sort of stain it. But you can see.
That's so cool.
So what it's actually used for is to adhere glass to like a glass shelf. So museums use it because it like creates, you know, it's clear so you don't see it. And whenever you smush it between like two planes of glass, it doesn't move. But it doesn't like ruin the glass by like gluing it or anything. So that's why it's called museum gel. It's just, I'm pretty sure like stop motion is probably keeping this thing alive. I don't know what else in the world it would be used for, but, also this spit, these spit strands, it's quake gel, and I'm animating and sculpting it every frame.
So how did you get that to stay put?
It just, it sticks and you can see.
This is very
weird.
Interesting material. This is so cool. Open my eyes.
Super weird. Very useful for spit water rips. You can color it by adding a little bit of clay or paint to it. So like I've used it for blood to like time lapse it, like going down a wall or like what do you animate? It's very useful in horror genres. I do sometimes just let it time lapse. Like there's some times where, because again, every time you touch it though, it kind of becomes not perfectly clear. So you have to wait for it to settle a little bit so that it settles and becomes super clear again. So a lot of times I'll like fuck with it and then I'll have to wait and it'll time lapse down a little bit. But you, if you frame through, you can kind of see like pulling it. And also I like to keep, you know, the drips like here bigger before it drops so that it kind of looks, it
gets so realistic.
What is that tongue made out of?
Doug, I wish you were here.
I definitely will ask Doug.
Doug! Wait, this will be funny. Hold on. I bet you he'll answer.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, you're on a podcast. What did you make the tongue out of?
It was upholstery foam and layers of latex and acrylic paint and armature wire and a heat gun. And it smelled like cookies when using a heat gun. I love ambush calls. You should do these more.
I know, right? Fun. I was like, you're probably going to answer. Okay.
Well, hey, Doug, very nice tongue.
Thank you. I've been told that before.
And there's two tongues he made. There was a replacement tongue because, you know, whenever your tongue sticks out and then goes up, it gets skinnier at the end. So we have this, you see that? We have this fat one and then it changes right here to the skinny one.
Oh wow, so detailed.
Call Doug for all of your tongue needs.
Dirty.
Thank you very, very much, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Doug.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.
Professional replacement tonguer. I like it.
So, and there was actually a lot of R&D that went into, especially the skin. So to answer your question, you know, because the quake gel is on that layer between the tissue paper and the actual teeth, it kind of like congeals it together and makes it a little bit animatable. And then once I got to about here, I actually popped a wire that you can't really see inside. So in fact, you'll be able to see it eventually. Let's see here. Oh, no. Wow. Did I do that good of a job? Oh, here. Okay. Okay. Can you see it? It's right here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's a tiny little wire right here.
Dual wire type?
No, I think it's just a really skinny aluminum wire. Because again, it's just tissue paper, so it's super light. I just needed something that'll hold its shape for a few frames. And you can see the wire here. I'm just like smushing it at this point onto the tongue.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Wow.
And like trying to create those shapes.
You hid that incredibly well, though.
I'm trying to make Tucker's life easier. Shake, shake, shake. And then there were some rigs that were painted out here, but very minimal. So this is the raw. You know, there was some good color gone on and stuff, but you'll be able to see the rigs. So you can see there's a rig underneath here that was painted out. I just took clean plates and stuff for that, but there's a rig.
But all of that's on one?
Yes, it is. Just the one rig. Well, and this holding up the teeth.
But
that whole like splat.
You want to know how? So
absolutely.
Quake gel and wax. It's actually adhered to the teeth. Like this part. This part. Right here is, you know, adhered to the teeth. Why does it keep doing that? And then they're just smushed, you know, with wax on top of each other. So it's almost like this flat piece that I just like plastered to the teeth. And then there were some pieces that were having trouble staying in place. So I threw a rig on. This then, again, they're not plastered onto the teeth anymore. But they're smushed together, and then it's all being held up by this little clip. We made all those pieces, and then I was just able to, you know, I had this huge clear epoxy base, and these are all hard pieces. So I had the clear epoxy base, and then I just kind of like put that up, and then I just kind of built the additional shapes, you know, and layered it on top of it until I felt like I got the trajectory that I got. And actually from this frame to this frame is whenever I plopped on the clear glass in front of the lens. So you can see only in the raw footage, you'll see it got a little bit darker, but here, you know, Tucker did a great job where he blended it a lot better and it just looks like a blur. I'm also like doing a big focus shift. And then I think, so from here to here, I just have one little wire for the bug in particular, but everything else, it's now on the glass. So it's adhered to the glass. So I don't have to use a rig. I'm trying to make, you know, my VFX artist life a lot easier.
Did you go from the AS backwards to get to like, or did you just crush down the, okay.
So this was not shot straightforward. This was a big puzzle. So how I shot it, I started here and shot backwards to here. And that's where I started. And then I went ahead and shot forwards from here to match it up perfectly to a loop that went straight into here, to here, to here, to here. And then I shot all of this actually straight forward. I did shoot this straight forward, but we already had this fabricated on another plane of glass. So actually by the time, and we had a stunt one. So we had a stunt AS logo that I was able to fuck up. And then we just plopped the new perfect logo into place. That makes sense. So we had like this, and then we had this stunt logo that I was able to mess up and not have to recreate like the beautiful logo. Doug already had this beautiful, nasty ass pic fabricated on a separate piece of glass that we just like dropped in to make it perfect. And then I just eased it out. So here, and then I just kind of like, you can see my fingerprints even, like I just kind of like smushed it and then I time-lapsed it. And then I just reversed it to about here. And then that's where the cut happens of when I started the animation.
Wow.
So that it would end up being a perfect loop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I think for me, I will like replay again. Like when I listen to the show, I will replay again and to see your planning. Like, this is very technical, but I am so happy to hear all the process you're sharing. Like, and I feel satisfying is that the satisfying feel is that you two create a very complete piece. Like I imagine that the bug is also was so beautifully made, a very complete one, but you guys break it or smoosh it.
Like actually that's a real bug.
Really?
That's a real bug? Real bug. It did not die for the cause. I used it. It was a what's it called? Like it was like a taxidermied, you know, preserved insect that I used on a commercial a while ago, and I just like keep things. And I thought, you know, I have like a whole bin of insects.
You have a bug bin?
I have a bug bin.
Is it over there? So it's already broken, like
very early. It actually might be at Tucker's. But I have a whole bug bin and I just threw out the idea. I was like, what if we just put this weird fly thing on there? And it was already kind of taxidermied flat, so you can see I don't really flatten it. I just kind of have it as an angle to kind of hide that it's just already flat, so it's more splatty when it splats.
Yeah, I don't feel gross. I somehow feel like it's somehow clean to me. Like it got a aesthetic of how you frame it, and also have you and Doug's DNA in it, because fingerprint, if you really, it's you two involved in it. This is very beautiful.
It's the perfect climb scene.
You know what's interesting, actually, you hit on a point that I was talking about earlier today in a Twitter space, and that is why horror. You know, and the reason I like to animate things that I feel like most people look at and go, that's gross, or, you know, I don't look at that. It's like the gross, like horrific or ugly parts of the world. But as children, we're not taught yet what is scary and what is gross. And that's why children are perpetually fascinated with bugs and monsters and dinosaurs. And, you know, instead of like asking, like, you know, they see a dead bird and they're not like, oh, they're like, whoa, like, you know, if they want to touch it, they want to learn about it. And I feel like that grossness and fear is taught at some point. And I think myself as a person, I don't think I ever grew out of that. I think, you know, my favorite photographer, I don't know if you guys are familiar, is Diane Arbus. And the things that she photographed, you know, she was most active, I think, in the 50s and 60s. The things she photographed were like the things that people always especially told women that they should look away from. It was circus freaks. It was people with deformities. It was corpses. It was, I mean, like the things in society that people deemed as ugly, but she wouldn't photograph them as if they were ugly. She thought they were all beautiful. And so she photographed them as such. And, you know, people have coined my style, if I'm just left to my own devices, as like darkly adorable. And I think that's kind of how I see the world. Is same thing. I look at this and, you know, Tucker and I have very different aesthetics if we're left to our own devices. So, you know, he's doing the effects and he's like, you are so gross. So gross. And, you know, and I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes me giggle. Like, it makes me happy. Like, almost like I'm looking at a puppy. I just, it's so fascinating and interesting and weird and like nothing I would ever experience in the world. And I love bringing that, you know, to the screen. Like, this is by the skin of my teeth. This is the representation of that phrase that we say all the time, but has anyone actually thought about what, how weird that is? And, you know, it's fun. It's weird. It's creepy. And, you know, same if I may freely also speak to the sound design.
Sound design.
I wanted to do it. I want to play it. The sound design, the like kind of weird noises in the background that I won't say the song just because obviously I didn't purchase it, but I took a song and I slowed it down by 50% and then played it backwards. Mm-hmm. And this specific artist, when you do that, I honestly have an entire, I'm so weird. I have an entire like song album I've created of that because it is some of the most weird, beautiful, like almost like meditation, like guttural. I like it better. It's like listening to it sometimes, I'm just like, this is so powerful when it's backwards and 50%. But I did that and then I carefully went through it and found like the 15 seconds that I felt like lined up perfectly with this. And then some of the other noises that I have in there, a dog licking peanut butter.
Perfect.
Is one of them. Here, wait, let me go through.
So you're saying like those sound effects are, you found different places on the internet. Yeah.
Some of them I recorded myself. And then a lot of them were sounds that existed. And then I just really fucked them up in, you know, in like playing with the speed that they play with, or like making them backwards at some point, or speeding them up.
I have a rec for you right now. I'm pretty sure it's free. It's called Paul X Stretch.
Oh, cool. I am going to look into that. But yeah, going, let's see here. What else is up here? The teeth hitting was actually my teeth and just like turned up real loud. And then the shaking, I took like teacups on saucers and just like the cough is me, but then I like slowed it down so it's a little bit deeper of a cough. And then I think there's like bass, and I think there's some more music that I did backwards here. There's some splats and stuff that I got online. I know I have this, you know, slime thing that's kind of like this where you can put your fingers in. It's like and I was like doing that. I don't remember where I got that noise. They're like wah wah wah. I don't remember. I don't remember how I made that. The glitches, I think, were free sounds that I like messed with a little. Oh, and then I made everything go backwards to make it sound like it was getting sucked in. So it was like a whole bunch of noises that I just like layered up insanely and then just backward into like a quiet thing. And then
what made you want to do your own sound?
Listen, I know I have amazing sound artists on my roster.
Right.
And so I hope that they don't take offense to this because they can get really weird. And I do love some things that they've done. I've definitely learned from them, but I felt like this one in particular, it was, we're actually going to get kind of deep. There's a couple reasons. Number one, I felt like no one was going to do it weird enough. Mm-hmm. And number two, it was a therapeutic thing for me, because at that time when I was doing that sound design, it was like a day or two after like the biggest heartbreak of my whole life. Eesh. And yeah, like gutturally, it's still terrible. Like I'm still going through it, but like absolutely destroyed. And there was something really therapeutic about doing this sound and about was in the dark, just like making these noises and putting things together. And it was like slowly piecing this thing together. And it was kind of a metaphor at that time for me and how I was feeling. This sounds so like art school bullshit, but it's true. it felt like I was also putting the pieces of myself back together and like learning how to do that. And listening to that particular song backwards and at 50% just felt really powerful for me in that moment. And I just really wanted to sit in it and make this just as like gross and loud and weird and wonderful. And yeah, because I know I had someone offer, they're like, you know, I can do the sound for you. And I was like, no, like, would love for you to, but like, no, like I need to do this.
Was that your first time doing sound for yourself?
I do everything in Premiere. Like, I'll be honest, like I am not trained, but I know what I want. And I just kind of like layer it up in Premiere. And I don't know.
It's kind of Premiere can do that. Yeah.
Some of it you actually recorded, like you basically did your own sound with the plate. So what, you just used them when you're tiny.
The phone?
Oh, phone mic. Okay, cool.
Well, you know, it's like, But how indicative of stop motion is to be kind of janky and all over the place and no one's going to know. Yeah, and it's supposed to be visceral and gross. So that's why I wasn't so concerned about it. And mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I was like, if it doesn't really work, I'm sure I can find the sound somewhere online, you know?
Right.
But I'm happy that this bumper, this work also become a healing process for you. Like it got a double meaning feel while making all these deconstructive things, but also for your mind is somehow piece by piece that I like this story from yours.
Mm. What was the time frame for all of that to being done?
So that's what's interesting. It didn't really take the amount of time it took to make this. Like if you were to crunch it all down, was like 3 days, maybe 4 max.
Okay.
But we had a very, very long timeline. Doug and I would fabricate for like 3 hours one day. And then like 2 days later, we would fabricate some more. And then I would like set up the shop for an hour, like a week later, and then I would finally get around to animating, and animating, you know, took like 2 days. But really I probably could have gotten it done all in one day, but I just didn't feel like it. And you know, I mean, it was pretty chill, but that's because like we had like an entire month or two to do it. And when really, you know, it was like a, like I said, max 4 day project. It really gave me space to really meditate on it before for a few days before I started, so I could make sure that I thought of everything to make it as perfect as I could. And by perfect, I don't mean like perfect. I mean like perfect, like how I want it to. So, you know, it would be like things like one day I was like, oh yeah, I didn't really spend that much time on rigging, and I had room to spend 2 hours to completely rig everything absolutely perfectly, because also there wasn't much of a time crunch. So I could just like do that and then spend time just like for a day, just kind of like thinking about it. It sounds so like, but you know, the only other thing we were doing at that time is creating art for Burning Man. So, you know, I really had the time and space to just kind of like let it breathe and think about it and be like, you know, not dive into anything that was only like half formed, which sometimes can be fine. But with this, I think it turned out exactly how I wanted it to, just because I had the time and space to really think things through and not feel pressure to start. If I felt like something needed more time, we had time to completely R&D the teeth skin, because that was a full day of R&D of us like coming up with ideas and testing things.
But if a poster is available, please let us know.
I'm not shitting you. For that, you. That still frame is just like really good.
Like, so beautiful.
Like if you print it, that's one of those ones that I hope you print out like on the kind of material that it actually glosses and shines, and like that's on your wall somewhere. Like
that's amazing. A good idea. That could be a nice little takeaway. I usually like to have one thing from every piece. We reused the teeth and the tongue for Doug's Interstellar video hole.
It has that look of like a really cool 1950s soda fountain place that just had like someone explode.
Oh, my mind is a weird place. But I do want to share the animatic just because I think
please.
Process. So I can't draw, and usually I have a storyboard artist that I work with on like everything. But because this budget wasn't huge, you know, try and keep the most of it for just the three of us. So, you know, we don't have to do anything. So I had to do my own animatic. So I usually do like Photoshop collage since I can't draw. So, but it turned out pretty well since you saw the piece.
That's a good drawing, it looks like.
I didn't draw it.
Wow. Yes, that clear. Is cool.
Yeah. I mean,
it got the out, timing.
And that's the thing. Like, I always tell clients, I'm like, you have to be so stoked on the animatic because it's going to turn out exactly like the animatic. So if there's something you're not happy with, it's like, now's the time to say something because it's going to be exactly like the animatic.
Yeah,
why I'll spend so much time on something like that, but yeah.
So
Photoshop.
About like your animatic, the background is a little diagonal feel. Is that another vision you think about, and then you switch to like on the tabletop or?
Yeah, I originally imagined being a different angle, but then once we got the puppet in there and I saw things and the way that the line, you know, there's a line here, having this be kind of straight across, it just kind of fit better with the lines that are be creating in the frame. The straight line here, the diagonal line, it just didn't fit the frame as well film language wise as I would have liked. So I changed that, but usually things like that are pretty minimal that you know clients don't mind.
Thank you, Lindsay. Talking to you like from yesterday is like something lit up in my mind. Is I feel so happy to learn new things. Like so many things just open my mind a lot, and also from the mood or from how I deal with things. It's such as I know we talk a lot, but it's still a couple hours I've met you in my life, but it's a big transform for how I see things. So yeah, thank you very much.
No, and feel free to reach out anytime, record it. it's been insanely fun for me. You know, it's not often that I get to, you know, every animator, whether they admit it or not, it's like sharing the process and like the weird things that we've discovered along the way, or like how we made things work. It's really fun. And it's a fun thing to share, but you know, it's like finding people who actually find it interesting, who aren't other animators, is like, you know, not always, you know, a thing. So, you know, it's always fun to share. And also, you know, I know there's been animators who have shared their weird processes or the ways that they figured things out. And I've taken those and put them in my own tool belt. You know, everything that I learned here, you know, not all of it is stuff that I've come up just like randomly in my head. A lot of times it's like little pieces that I've learned from other people, or like, oh, they did this and maybe I expand on it. Or like, oh, like, you know, I didn't know what a star filter was, I think, till I met Susie Shercliffe. And I'm probably pronouncing her name, last name wrong. And you know, and she was like, oh, you should pop a star filter on. And I was like, what's that? And from that moment on, my entire life was changed. And so, you know, like I said, it's all collaboration and it's all learning from each other. And so I just love to be a part of that. And the idea that maybe I can inspire or expand someone else's tool belt, because, you know, we're all kind of working in our own little separate pods all over the world. And we don't always get a chance to share what we're doing to also help improve everyone else and, you know, share ideas and collaborate. So, you know, that's why social media, and I feel like these, you know, podcasts and certain things are like really great. I don't know. Yeah. I just want to be a part of it.
Mm. Well, that's the end of this episode with Lindsay. Stay tuned for more to come.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.